what do you want people to know about your experience?
For guys that have a lot of time, you see the ones that's really serious about changing, because it's not easy to try to program and take classes or even do anything. You have a lot of time, so the guys that is able to do that, it shows that resilience that a lot of people don't see. When I first fell, it takes a little bit of kind of maneuvering just to even get into a class,
Yeah.
Like when I first got into class, I took graphic design and bookkeeping at Walla Walla. That's the only reason I even got into those classes. This is when I still had left it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, I had a CI job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in a sign shop, so I said, hey, it's work-related, I should be able to take this class. So that's how I got in. So, and then once you're in the door, it's a little bit easier to get into other classes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's so many programs that's available that I wish more people take advantage of, but I think for some reason, liberal arts and science is one of the classes that actually got me start, to see things a little differently. It's not like that with other classes. I don't know if you had any similar experience like that. Because I took business administration, and the course was, business, but it's not. I don't make you really think like I do now. But just maybe it's just the writing, all the writing and reading, a lot of writing and reading. But it makes you think about. It opened up like memories that I, think about for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. Some ways it's not. Trying to pull it all the time. It's kind of like that stream. Once you pull it, just start coming. It just keep on coming. It's not.
Yeah.
And just go with it. And I'm still in that process. With my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that I don't know about them still, and I'm trying to figure out a way to talk to them without pulling too much memories from their life, which I know it's not. It's still an ongoing process. There's a lot of trauma on their part, So the question is, what do I want people to know? There's people in here, made bad choices. You can't come back.
Yeah.
There's people trying to do better, they just need that opportunity. Because they might not ever get out of prison, doesn't mean they still can't change.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. How did it feel when your parents came to your graduation?
I still see them. I mean, because before they never graduated a few times from like different courses, but. So when I got here, I graduated from the CTAP, and I asked them, hey, they got a graduation coming up, I don't know if you want to come, and I was actually surprised that they wanted to be there, so being able to take pictures with them with my cap and gown was pretty amazing. I see still trying to get them to, because they're still, so they've been here 30-something years, and
yeah,
they're still going through the struggle of trying to build the English language, and, mm-hmm. and they always rely on, you know, their physical labor to, you know, get by, and now, since that's starting to deteriorate, they're relying on other people to, like, schedule appointments and do this and that. And my dad at one point tried, but you know, I gave up. And now that when I bring it up, they just, why? They feel like it's too late, you know. And I'm still trying to understand it, you know. And on my article, I'm trying to figure out, you know, there's more to it than what's on the surface, you know, and what they tell me.
Yeah. I can't imagine what they went through watching people who had access to education be slaughtered like that. I think that, like, any kind of trauma does something to your brain, and we don't know how you respond that way, you know. But then to, like, be somewhere, like then to come here, right, and then education is, like, pushed on everybody, well, certain individuals, and then not be able to access that, I guess, and then being incarcerated when you have parents who are in that situation, like, the system's already restrictive. So maybe if there was something that, like, an education system could do to foster, like, some sort of resolution or help your parents in some way, like, what would that look like to you?
I think they need to know that it's okay to talk about, you know, what happened. In a way where it's a hard question. I just don't answer, because when we first came to the United States, because I don't think our family is the only family that, you know, when we came to the United States, there was no...
You have 1 minute left.
Can I call her back?
Yeah, you sure can.
I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay.
If you would like to permanently block your number, thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Can you hear me?
I was telling you about my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first came to the United States, you know, there was really no, like, it's like they just, we got sponsored, came here, and kind of then just left their own device, you know. And then my parents, you know, there's things that, I mean, there was no, like, counseling or, there's no, you know, place they could go to talk about, you know. It's like, you know, I think about now, it's like, I wonder, because growing up, you know, I gotta say, you know, when I was out, my parents, you know, I mean, we get along now, I love them, but they weren't the best parents when I was out, you know?
Yeah.
So, because there's a lot of things that I just gotta have to figure out on my own, you know, and try to figure out, you know, going to school, getting bullied, or whatever, the things, you know, I can't come back and then tell my folks about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, but, I know there's things that that they're gone through that I think other families do too. So I wish there was some kind of like, I don't know how the refugee program is now when they take in people that's, that came from countries of war or whatever, and through a lot of trauma themselves, if there's a way for them to talk about it, you know, because back then I don't think there was anything like that. Because, you know, what they go through, it affects their kids too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and you might, probably might not show instantly, but, you know, think about now, there's a lot of things that I didn't get, I didn't understand.
Yeah. Has access to education and, like, specifically you said liberal arts helps you think and it starts bringing out these memories. So, like, has access to that help you? I mean, I know in your submission you said it helped you understand them some. Do you want to talk any about that? How?
Yeah, so this quarter, the theme for this quarter was utopia, right? Utopia societies.
Yeah.
You know, and first thing that, you know, everybody got their own definition of what utopia is, and first thing I thought about was, I equated utopia with, you know, like authoritarian, like, you know, society, you know, like something that can't believe went through with Pol Pot, you know, someone's vision for everybody else. And so there's like several readings that we did, and it changed my perspective a little bit. I mean, you could have a utopian way of thinking, you know, aspire towards something that doesn't have to be bad, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's finding a quality, a good quality that for, you know, better society, that, you know. But so when I wrote a paper, and it's kind of I talked about just kind of my journey towards learning about that subject. You know, there's a couple articles I read or pulled from JSTOR. One of them was Portrait of the Dictator, but it's just talk about Pol Pot and how he his utopian experimental. It's when he took over, you know, that was his little utopian experiment. You know, he wanted to create a society where, you know, it's just where everyone is equal. I mean, not in a good way, but, you know, docile, uneducated, and, you know, but he brought more questions that, you know, I don't know, like things that, you know, I want to eventually ask my parents about. Reading that article, and just this whole quarter, I've started writing down questions that I want to ask my parents. I want to make sure that I don't hurt them or traumatize them, you know. I feel like that's my purpose. I want to tell their story before that story's gone. There's no way that they'll be able to tell it. And they're getting old, and I don't want to think about it, but, you know, with the health and everything, you know, I feel that it's important to do it before, you know, they're no longer here. You know? But that's what I've been thinking about. Yeah, there's questions. There's things that on my family, on my mom's side of the family, that I don't know about. You know, like how many brothers and sisters she had. I don't even know that. You know, what's her mom's name? I don't like my mom and dad. They were part of Pol Pot utopian vision. They didn't come together out of love. You know, they were forced together to basically create me. And so growing up, I didn't understand it at the time, because I always felt like a dissonant with my mom, but I kind of understand why now, because I wasn't planned.
Yeah.
When she sees me, she sees, something that my pope probably wanted, this new society that he wanted to create.
That's a lot. That's heavy.
Yeah, it's been just this past quarter or two has been, it's that's the type of education I was talking about. It's like I didn't get that with those other courses, I didn't make you think and question.
No.
Things and
struggle. Yeah. I had a similar experience. So, I had a life de facto sentence. So I had 55 years as a 17-year-old. Same thing, right? I wasn't eligible for school either until later in my sentence. And my last degree in there was also a liberal arts degree. And I had all these vocationals.
Yeah.
And ironically, I did graphic design and print technologies too. And it was because I was in correctional services as well, and that's how I got into school as well, which I think is really ironic, because we have very similar stories, or backstories, just not the, but in our sentencing at least, right? And when I took my last associate's degree was liberal arts, and the class that changed things for me was also, it was called Dystopians. And the book for me was Oryx and Crate, and an Oryx story was like my story, and I was like, oh no, there's how do we think about this differently? I agree with you about liberal arts being a different experience that really transcends the idea of vocational, makes you think about how to think. And I think that's something we don't talk about a lot, and especially in the prison context, it's a lot about how do we get job skills, right? But I don't care how many job skills you have, and let me know if you agree here, if you don't know how to think and process these histories that we all come with, then you can't succeed in a job anyways. So I'm excited you're in this space of a different kind of learning.
I completely agree. Like you said, most there's a lot of vocational classes here, and they want you to get out and get a job because they think that just getting a job is going to keep you out of trouble. But it's teaching a person to be rational, to think, that's what I think. That's what it creates a better person, when you think about what you're doing and society as a whole, why things the way they are, there's so many good podcasts on them. Were you able to access the tablet when you were in there?
Yeah, but we didn't have podcasts. They were new. So I've only been home for in July it'll be 2 years. So I haven't been home long. I didn't know the one that I had done was in there actually.
They got this app called Adobo. I'm sure you heard of it now.
Yeah.
But it has so many resources. It's there for people that, want to learn.
Yeah.
So many things, podcasts. So it's changed a lot since you've been.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm really glad that there's access. So let me ask you, what's your favorite podcast?
My favorite podcast?
Yeah.
So the one I've been watching a lot, it's a podcast, but it's a video, is Brandon's Commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that one that I saw your story in Nightmares
success.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of great stories in there too, but just things that educational and just inspirational stories, you know,
yeah.
Success stories. I like to listen or watch those.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes also they got this. They had a series on PBS a while back, but there's the series is on the tablet now. It's called College Behind Bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in here, and about those guys that going through the whole their process over there in arts. Mm-hmm. But this is before they had just the way they didn't have laptops or anything, so
yeah.
I just watching them going through what I'm going through now.
Yeah.
But they got stacks of books and writing, you know, so it's like, man, this is it. I feel like anticipating is hard, you know.
Yeah.
So I watched that. I said, okay, give me that extra motivation, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, education is not supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard, right? It's not. It's if it's easy, then how do you go from it? You know?
Yeah.
So when I feel like the assignment is tough and challenging, you know, I try to tell myself, that's how I'm going to learn. That's how I'm going to grow. It's something to challenge me and think about all the courses that I took before, mm-hmm. and they weren't challenging at all. And that's part of why I didn't really feel to learn anything. I mean, to a certain extent from it, you know, as
yeah.
a person, grow as a person.
Yeah.
I can see still learn vocational skills, you know.
Yeah.
But learning skills that allow you to, communicate better or think better or understand people.
Yeah.
That's what I think they should have more of. Or I'm just amazed that right now there's only 14 students in our class. We start out with 24, and just seeing people drop off. I mean, there's more to it than that, because with all the Department of Education stuff and AMDA, have that FAFSA stuff go through yet, so it's been challenging for Irish part too.
Yeah.
He's good at he's very positive.
Yeah.
He's good at kind of put the negative part aside, but I know he's doing a lot, and it must be frustrating for him to still waiting on certain things that it's been almost a year now. And having a good instructor, it makes a difference too.
Mm-hmm.
You've spoken with Art, you know how he is. He's, he has that energy, you know, he loves to teach, he loves to share. I'm having him there, makes a difference, I think. And, bringing in new faculties and, you know, having him kind of show him. Makes a difference too.
Yeah. So I have a question. In your piece, you say that you were resentenced because the rules about understanding juvenile brain chemistry have changed. What are your dreams for yourself now? Because you started all this without thinking you were coming home, right? And so, what do you think now?
Yeah, right now, I'm more uncertain than ever. I'm still going to do what I do,
mm-hmm.
continue to educate myself. Where I'm going to end up, I'm not sure. There's so many things I want to do, too.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to, whatever it is, I know I want to continue to tell my story. And you know, I'm reminded that you watched Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
Before?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a quote by Red. He said that, you know, hope, you know, it could be a dangerous thing sometimes, you know, when you have too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
It could even drive a man crazy.
Yeah.
But I think we need hope.
Yeah.
You know, I get this up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to do something about it. You know, you can't just sit there and hope for things to happen and don't make the effort to get there.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would want people to know?
That's a hard question, too. Because people are going to think what they're going to think out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for some people, no matter what I do, it's never going to amount to anything. You know, there's always... I hurt people, and I understand that people is always going to see me as the guy that person.
Like, who are you after that moment? Right? So, like, we're not defined by the worst moments of our lives. We are who we are when we stand back up. So, like, in this moment, who are you?
You know, I wake up, like, it's hard to explain, but it's like, man, why I'm now and why I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm in, it's like, I still, it just, I ask my assistant the same question. It's like, who?
Mm.
How did that happen? You know, how did I get there? And it's like, it's just, I don't want to say anything that take away from what I've done, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of...
Earlier you said in our conversation, now that there's a possibility of release, you have all these things you want to do. So what are some of those things?
I want to be able to take care of my parents. I got three sisters that, you know, they're going through their own struggles too. And, you know, and my parents is going through their own struggles and, you know, and sometimes it's not able to help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, my parents feel like they really, they feel like they can't go to anybody for help.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I talk to moms every day, you know, at least for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't call, you know, they, especially my mom, she start to worry. But you know, they tell me about the things that they're going through, and it makes me, I mean, you know how it feels to feel helpless and not doing anything to help people out there. I feel that almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do get out, I won't be able to help them, but I want them to be able to financially support myself.
Do you think having this education will help with that?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like what I've been doing is just kind of gaining, like, some of the educational stuff I've done is just like a tool I can use when I get it out, you know, like the graphic design stuff, bookkeeping, and I'm also taking a paralegal course just to get certified. Like my job right now, and DI, I'm a microbiome engineer, which, you know, do the process for these designs, the machines to cut out cabinetries. It's a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot of time for my school too, so it's trying to balance it out is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But
is school and work ever a conflict for you?
So luckily we have two night schools on the weekdays. And our other class is all day Saturday, Saturday morning and afternoon. So it works perfectly. Those days are just full days, you know.
Yeah.
If I do have to attend my classes that's during work, they're accommodating, I guess, or I don't get in trouble for it. What do I want to do when I get out? I mean, I kind of want to do what you're doing. You're advocating for us, you know?
Yeah.
You know the other side, because you've been there, you know, and a lot of people out there don't understand. You're trying to get our voices out there.
I think having been incarcerated is not something that I would have thought that would have been part of my life, and it's not something that I would have wanted, and I'm really, I carry the harm that I committed very deeply.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's a responsibility, and in some ways, getting this second chance in my life, I feel like it's a superpower.
Yeah.
Because you...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people, I think that when you lose everything and then you get another chance, there's a different kind of way that you live your life.
I agree 100%.
It's like gratitude.
Especially when you're young and you, And, you know, and the hardest time I think was when I was in county, when they put me in solitary. I didn't know what solitary back then. It's just, it never let me out of my room, you know?
Yeah.
Until I turned 18, just being in the room alone, not knowing is...
Let's talk about that a little bit. So, like, let's say we take this clip out of this conversation, and there's a kid listening that might be in a situation that could be leading that way. What would you want to tell them? Like, what would you want to tell them?
I mean, if you get a chance to talk to Ira, you could ask him how much I talk in class, which is barely, because one of the things that I need, I'm working on is being able to speak, you know, and ask questions. I'm not very good at that, especially answering questions. So this is kind of hard for me. Some of the questions you ask, like, man, when I get off the phone, I'm like, dang. It's all in my head. I haven't come out the way I want it to come out. It's been a challenge. It's always been a challenge to me. It just come out the wrong way sometimes. I think when you're young, having somebody just to listen and not to tell you what you should or shouldn't do is when a kid see somebody that's been through what me or you have been through.
Mm-hmm.
See how things could turn out or not turn out. You know, they might not get that chance like we did, you know, now. Because with things are changing, you know, they across you might make sure that they stop that loophole, you know.
So,
I don't want to say use scare tactics, but just make them realize that, you know, your choice does not just affect you, but everyone around you. Because you're not the only one doing the time, you know.
People who don't get out, what value is education to them? How, like, let's say you're doing a life sentence, right? Like, there's a common thread that if somebody's going to be in prison all the time, they shouldn't have access to education, right? In your piece, you said you had to, like, fight and fight and fight and fight to get in classes. So what would you say is the value of education, even if you have a long sentence, for that person and for that prison community?
Well, the value of education, I mean, you know, the way DOC think about it is, you know, they want to give education to people that's about to get out so they get a job, you know, but they don't understand that, you know, people that are slopped up and may never get out. They might not get a job, but that education that you give them, you know, it's more than just actual skill. You're changing their way of thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the lib arts and science, you know, when you get people to think, you know, then it just changes something in you. It makes a person kind of hard to put into words, but it something just clicked.
Has access to education changed your relationships with staff there, or your roommate, or people on the unit?
When you do nothing but study and go to school, you see who, you kind of see, I say friends, but like the people that, you know, don't have the same value as you or, you know, the same idea as you, they tend to back off a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not at work, and I don't like to sit in the room, so I just sit and all I do is just, you know, do my homework, study, read, and that's all the other guys see me do,
mm-hmm.
and the staff. So they kind of just leave you alone. They know that you're not about whatever's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So for the most part, I don't have any problems. The guy that comes in, you know, they see me doing what I'm doing, and they'll come up and ask me questions, and I want to be an example. So the guys come in there, they give me do what I can to better myself for that school, mm-hmm. and you know, they kind of motivate them to do the same thing, and instead of just sitting down and playing cards or just do nothing all day, you know.
Yeah, we used to sit and talk about critical inquiry. That was a new term to me, but like I'd be like, hey, read this, and the, when the person would actually read it, they'd come back and we'd sit there and like talk about, I don't know, whatever the article was at the time, and sometimes it was, you know, like the most interesting conversations because they're like, this is what you're reading in school? Yeah, well, what does it mean?
There's so many terms that is new to me since taking this class, like Anfontes, and you know, like the critical inquiry and mm-hmm. critical analysis, and mm-hmm. and when people come and ask me, and I tell them what I'm learning, and they see the stack of books that I got to read, and sometimes some of them just shake their head and just not for me.
Yeah.
But then they, like, there are some that, you know, when I start talking and explaining, you know, there's some that's actually interested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't even know it, but you're just preparing the next cohort of students to sign up.
Yeah, every chance I get, you know, when I first heard of liberal arts and science, uh-huh. liberal arts, you know, it's, you know, people think it's, you know, like, got something to do with politics or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't understand it's about kind of freeing your thinking, you know, and make you think for yourself, and it's more to the course than, you know, what people first thought, you know, and I kind of explained to them, you know, because a lot of the guys here, they're waiting to graduate from Grace Harbor and be able to, because right now, Evergreen is the only one that has that bachelor program, so
mm-hmm.
when it's possible, I don't think there's going to be a problem of creating a cohort, you know. Because it's not just me, the other guys in class, yeah, it's great. I think just the community right now that we have in this cohort, it's like perfect. It's just everybody is just on the same page. Everybody cares.
Yeah.
You know, they're not there just to get a degree. They, like, there's, when I see, like, this guy named Chuck, right, in our class, he's one of the students, he's like 70 something. When I look at him, I said, man, it motivates me. I said, man, this guy's 70 something years old, still trying to get his BA degree. You know, so it makes me just, inspires me, you know, to keep doing what I'm doing. I would have enough credit to get my degree next quarter.
Oh, congratulations.
But, mm-hmm. But I decided to, I guess, everything, you have the option of going for 225 credits, so I'm gonna go for it and take as many questions as I can.
Go for it, yes, 100%.
Because to me, it's not just a degree either. You know, it's like I feel like I'm just now starting to, you know, I wake up, you know, understand myself a bit more. Yeah, I've been on educational journey for a long time,
yeah.
But if I took like this class to make me actually see things a little differently, you know.
Well, I'm excited to meet you at this moment of, you know, exploration.
I still have my faults, and I'm still learning, and there's things that I have a hard time with, and I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm open. I'm going to stay on this path now that I see that it's a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
And every quarter that I'm in this class, I'm learning more things about myself and about just the world in general, you know? It's just crazy because when I turn on TV and see what's going on in the world, I think, man, like, little things matters, you know?
They do.
And I just want to apologize ahead of time. Some of my answers not...
Oh, no, I'm going to stop you right there. So somebody recently told me never apologize. And I'm going to tell you, never apologize for your answers.
Okay.
It's been really amazing to have this conversation. And I really appreciate your insights into your own experience, into education, into what you hope and dream in this moment. As you learn more, things change and morph. And I think that learning kind of becomes a lifestyle. This has been the highlight of my week talking to you. And I don't say that lightly.
You've been the highlight of my week talking to you.
Thank you for this phone call. Have a good rest of your night and stay safe. Okay.
You too.
Okay.
Hey, you too. All right.
Bye.
Goodbye.